Yo, yo, welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Bros. Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us for this very exciting 19th installment of Show & Tell. This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. I'm excited because Will's back for a summer break. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's fun to be back. We're
in the same room.
We're recording in our childhood home, which, again, we mentioned this last summer, but, you know, there's no more Mercado HQ.
That's true.
We're nomadic.
We're vagrants of ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're very vagranty these days. Guys, I've been looking forward to this for a long time because it's been way too long since a Show and Tell episode.
Yeah, since like December, I believe.
December of 2015. So yeah, long overdue. Show and Tell 19. I'm going to skip the whole cliche thing where I say, can you believe we've done this? We all...
Yeah, I can believe it.
We can all believe it at this point.
We're not to 20, actually.
We're actually going to do a fun little segment in the middle of this episode that I'm excited for, and I kind of have been waiting for Will to be in the same room. So really awesome music I have to share with you today. And yeah. Will, would you agree?
The music I'm excited. In particular, there's two tracks that I'm really eager to share with
awesome.
You. You in particular, which is that's what's so fun about these. We're always thinking about each other when we're putting together these playlists because it's the only time in the show when the other person.
So that means that it's obviously like really slow, like Gregorian chant stuff, right? Because when you think of me, that's what you think.
I know, what you're into, man. I know.
This is going to be so fun. I love Show and Tell episodes. I think Will has a little bit more stress, like having time to pick the playlist for these. But for me, I always get such a joy out of going through and trying to pick cool stuff that Will enjoy.
You're more organized than I am. You have these nice, you should see his computer. It has all these folders
library
with everything. I'm always just going to different sites trying stuff out. But hey, we always make it work, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, Carl mentioned that fun thing that we're doing a little bit later. It's crazy because we record this podcast early, but we're actually going to be live streaming that, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. For the first time, we'll try it
out. Which means that if you're listening to this podcast,
you can go to our Facebook page and watch it, though, which is cool because every live stream turns into a video on our page.
Yeah, but so hopefully cool. hopefully you saw the live stream as it was happening.
Or you can just pretend that it's live anytime you're watching it, too, which is what I always do. All right, so let's get into it. The first track you heard was actually my first submission of the day. It's from Star Fox Zero, which just came out, and I was pleasantly surprised by the music. I think I had really low expectations once I heard that, I think, Platinum Games was developing it, and I saw the list, and there's some good composers on there, but overall, I was like, it's probably not going to be that good, but it is different, and it doesn't necessarily feel like Star Fox, but it's high quality music. That was Corneria. I thought that was a pretty rousing track. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I think it was okay. I don't mind the production and everything. I think it's just hard. I'm very much like a hardcore Star Fox fan.
You are.
I think it's kind of like asking someone who's really into the Marvel universe what they think of like a new film.
Fair.
I'm very biased. You know, I grew up playing the Star Fox games. It was probably my favorite Nintendo franchise for a long period of time. And I was waiting, like all the other fans, anxiously for a game to come out for the Wii. Never happened.
Well,
it finally comes out and to sort of mixed reviews. And kind of the fact that, I don't know, I heard the main theme and I was very disappointed. And the fact that Koji Kondo and, you know, other classic Star Fox composers aren't involved.
For sure.
It's just,
I don't disagree with any of that. Yeah. I think for the sake of time, let's get into your first pick of the day, dude.
So, speaking of Koji Kondo, my first pick is coming from Super Mario Maker.
Cool.
This is a soundtrack that we kind of haven't really played much. I played a couple pieces before the game came out, but this is really exciting because this was sort of Koji Kondo's return to being the sole composer for a game. I'm going to be playing the title screen of this game, and what's really interesting about Mario Maker is it was kind of advertised and presented to be the spiritual successor to Mario Paint, and, you know, we've played that title screen on the podcast before, and, you know, that's one of my favorites, and it's kind of interesting how, in that case, it's Kazumi Tataka, you know, very faithfully trying to capture sort of the spirit of Koji Kondo's music, but in kind of a very minimal way, and what's interesting, this is almost like Koji Kondo trying to capture the spirit of Mario Paint. So
it's a joy.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's take a listen to title screen from Super Mario Maker. Thank you. Isn't that cute? I love this.
So
this
cute.
Is the title screen to Super Mario Maker, one of my favorite games of the year. I absolutely adored this experience.
It was only 2015. It felt like, for some reason, longer than that.
What do you mean?
For some reason, it felt like it came out 2 years ago, but it was 2015, right?
I know. It was,
I guess it was
fall. It was September,
yeah. That makes sense.
I love this game. I thought it was a really clever use of the Wii U and the gamepad, and mm-hmm. so fun to kind of, you know, hand the tools to the creative empire of Super Mario Brothers off to the gamers.
And also, I will say that it's probably the most successful Wii U game in the past few years. Like, it's...
Right.
Maybe the most, right? Successful. Well, I mean, Smash Brothers.
The thing that I really enjoyed was sort of the appreciation of the music. A lot of the work that Koji Kondo did was sort of remixes or kind of interesting layered versions of pieces he'd previously composed, along with a couple new, you know, original compositions that were sort of hidden in there unceremoniously. But this one I thought was really fun because listening to it, it just doesn't sound like Koji Kondo.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think it's amazing. You sort of see his versatility. He's really kind of trying to sound like other Nintendo composers, particularly some of the jazziness and like the minimal nature. It honestly reminds me of Kazumi Tataka.
Well, I'm excited to move on to my second pick of the day. This is from a 3DS game called Stella Glow. Have you heard of this, Will, at all?
I've not, no.
Stella Glow, and it was composed by Yasunori Masuda.
Oh, cool.
So it's cool to have new 3DS music by classic video game composer.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I hope you guys enjoy this track. It's called Elcrest, the Legendary Hero from Stella Glow. Love that. You guys are listening to Elcrest, the Legendary Hero. That's from Stella Glow. This is a pick that I brought in today. It was composed by Yasunori Mitsuda. I really like the combination of epic, kind of a little bit more run-of-the-mill video game energy, Falcom kind of energy here, but you have a beautiful melody played on the violin. You also have melodies later in the track that are doubled by a female vocalist. So it's really fun. The instrumentation, I think, is really inventive and fresh. I think the melodies are very solid, and it's that great video game style where beautiful melodies played over a really fast, like, rocking rhythm section, which it feels so distinct to video game music. You know,
yeah.
When you listen to a lot of fast-paced rock music, a lot of times it's not going to
have violins
beautiful,
in it.
It's not going to have a beautiful melody. Vice versa, when you listen to a lot of beautiful melodic music, it's not probably going to rock this much. So
yeah.
That's what I love about video games. It's so quirky. Will, what are your reactions to this track?
Oh, I love it. It felt just kind of classic to his style.
Mm-hmm. But also a little bit of a stretch, not necessarily his cliche sound, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I think it's hard. It just sounds so Japanese to me, and he being, you know, one of my favorite Japanese mm-hmm. composers, it definitely feels right at home. You can hear the sort of Hisayashi influence, but also that kind of, like, rock sound, which is unique to video game music, I think.
Absolutely.
It's
well,
really
I think that leads us to your second pick of the day.
Yeah, this soundtrack might have been my favorite discovery this week. It's from a Super Nintendo game called Final Stretch.
Never heard of it.
The first track I'm going to play today is the title theme.
Okay.
From this game. It's an incredible soundtrack. It's very short. You know, there's only a few pieces. This is a racing game, but it's really good. And
cool.
There's some funky stuff coming up later on.
I can't
wait. This title theme is more straight ahead. Carl, I mentioned to you before, I actually called Carl when he was at work, because this track starts with this riff that sounds incredibly familiar to me. And I know this is sort of a challenge to those of you listening at home. Tell me what this intro riff sounds like, because I know it's a piece of video game music. It seems like something that should be played on an organ. I thought it was maybe from like a Final Fantasy or Castlevania.
So let us know what this is reminiscent of.
But this is a great, great song. Let's take a listen to Title Theme from Final Stretch. Isn't this awesome?
This is so great.
This is the title theme from Final Stretch, composed by Masano Akahori. I'm familiar with that name.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that name on the podcast before. Solid composer.
This is great, and I'm really excited. There's a track coming up later that gets pretty funky, and I think
I may have heard
really
the first
like.
Second of it, but I think I'm still excited to hear the rest of it.
I love this composer. He has a wonderful use of jazz harmony that feels like distinctly 80s.
Sure.
Super kind of powerful and feels like, you know, popular music of that time. Great for a racing game. That sort of the specific instrumentation and kind of modalities, I would say, in this game really feel distinct to sort of a classic racer.
Killer.
And it has some awesome melodies too.
All right, well, now we're gonna move on to my third pick of the day. This is from a PS1 game that I've never heard of before, except, you know, obviously before this week. It has a German name. It's called Einhörner, but it's a Japanese game, and I think it might be a space shooter. It was composed by Kinichiro Fukui. And the track I'm going to play is Earthlight. It's a really laid-back, chill, groovy track that probably works if you guys all close your eyes. So let's all close our eyes and take a listen to Earthlight. That is high quality fusion music right there. Oh, so groovy and laid back. You guys were listening to Earthlight from the PS1. You heard it. Right, that's PS1 game Einhörner, composed by Kinichiro Fukui. This is so groovy. I'm a big fan of the chord progression. I'm a fan of the synth bass. There's these really funky kind of synth guitar stabs that you hear. And yeah. you combine that with the melody, it's like this call and response. It's super atmospheric, but again, it's I liked it because it was also melodic. It was very strongly melodic. It's just solid music, and it's right up my alley.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's very vibey, but still, it doesn't ever get boring.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it has such a constant groove and these really infectious harmonies make it thoroughly engaging to listen to. I was mm-hmm. listening to, you know, a lot of different music to prepare for the sure. playlist today, and I came across a lot of atmospheric music, but a lot of stuff that's more functional rather than...
Sure. Will, can you believe that this is a space shooter? It does not sound like space shooter music that I would expect, so... Cool, man. Love that track, but I think it's time to move on to your third pick, right?
Yeah, well, I'm going to feature a few tracks from a game I discovered last Show and Tell that had an incredible orchestral soundtrack. This is a game called War Thunder, and it's a team yeah. of Russian composers that worked on this game. It's a very big soundtrack, all filled with this really sort of nationalistic Russian patriotic orchestral music.
Killer.
It's really great. So I'm going to play two tracks today. I think one of them might be the play out. This piece is called Ground Forces Battle 13, and the composers we have here are Georgi Zaryakov, Alexander Korny, and Zahar Antonov.
Good old Zaryakov.
Let's take a listen to Ground Forces Battle 13.
Let's do it.
Listening to Ground Forces Battle 13 from the game War Thunder.
Solid stuff.
Composed by those lovely Russian gentlemen that I mentioned before.
The Russian hotties. This is so solid. I really like the recording of it. It's not like pristine, you know, it's mm-hmm. not like the probably didn't have the biggest budget, but it sounds good, and really the composition comes through.
Right. I think also the MP3s that I found had, you know, a little bit of like
some
distortion
hiss.
Sound
sure.
to them. I don't know if they were overly compressed or mm-hmm. what it is, but it's perfect for this kind of music.
Yeah.
What I was really attracted to with this soundtrack is that it felt like a mixture of contemporary sort of film music cliches mm-hmm. in terms of orchestration and rhythmic stuff, but it seems like there's a little bit more symphonic sophistication in terms of the orchestration, and it's like a blend between the modern film music thing and a lot of this almost like 19th century Russian nationalistic music.
Okay.
And so the orchestration borrows from both of those, and it's just a really interesting mix.
Well, you know what's great about that mix too, and I think we've talked about it recently, is it makes it feel timeless, where
yeah.
it could fit in a lot of different genres, a lot of different
sure.
wars and eras, you know. That's
right.
a really important job for a composer for a game that's based on some sort of war or battle, is that if it is on a, if it's a specific war, like World War II or something, obviously you have to match the context of that era. But a lot of games come out where they're a futuristic war where it's just kind of nebulous, like you don't really know where it takes place, and it kind of needs to be more timeless, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this game, it was unclear whether it was, I'm pretty sure it's like a World War II game.
Oh, okay.
Because it features, you know, all these different European countries, but I'm pretty sure it's kind of like an online battle simulator game, so it's not as much about like a campaign or a story.
Very nice,
But it's interesting because pretty much all the music is like battle music, ground battle music. But you know, something like this, it's not all like action oriented. Yeah. Some of it has a much more emotional, evocative quality to it, which makes me really intrigued about how it works in the game.
Absolutely, man. Really cool stuff. I'm enjoying the contribution so far today. All right, we're going to move on to my fourth pick. This is from a Genesis game called Crusader of Senti, and it was composed by Madakazu Shinoda and Noriyuki Iwadare. I'm going to play the ending theme, which is really light and catchy, and it's just a good piece of music. I think you might get a kick out of this one, Will. This is the ending from Crusader of Senti. A delightful piece of music. You guys are listening to the ending theme from Crusader of Senti, which uses an earlier theme in the game, like some sort of level theme or overworld theme, but really beautiful and playful. What I like about ending music for this era, and it's particularly refreshing on the Genesis, is that it's treated more like film score, and it's not kind of your typical Genesis style, even like in terms of the form of it. It's a lot more just kind of evolving and stuff, which is what I think is great. This is the kind of music that you don't hear almost ever on the Genesis. It's kind of shining force in the vein of that, which is such a breath of fresh air. You know, anytime you have music that is just a little bit more film score-y or just a little bit more, I guess, evolving, just not your typical rocking Genesis stuff.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I hear film score in terms of like that it's not super repeating and it's through composed.
That's kind of what I meant. Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of the music, I really enjoy it. Yeah, and this kind of it feels so laid back because of the swung rhythms, and just that swung feel really makes you feel comfortable. You know, there's different approaches to end credits music. And I think this one is just kind of about making you feel like relaxed because the journey is over.
Well, I think it's time to move on to your number four pick.
Well, my fourth pick is from the game Uncharted 4.
Wow.
As we were recording this game
comes out today.
Today, yeah. Cool. So it's really exciting. I think all of us are really eager to get our hands on it. I was particularly excited for this game because one of my favorite young film composers, Henry Jackman, composed the score to this game.
Brother of Hugh.
Yeah. No, I don't believe so. No, Henry Jackman is a British composer, and he's worked on...
Australian, same difference.
No, but he did the score to Puss in Boots, the Winnie the Pooh movie. He did.
Well, you don't have to say everybody. You
knows
think
Puss in Boots? No, I'd say Puss in Boots because
it's actually
really
quite good.
It's a wonderful score. The Winnie the Pooh movie is really good, and he also did what was that movie where Tom Hanks gets captured by the Somali pirates? Oh yeah, Captain Phillips. He did that. So he's very versatile. You know,
great score
on
that
one. Able to do kind of the modern film score thing, but he can also do a lot of pastiches to an older sound. What's great about that is that he just sort of fit right in the Uncharted series. I listened to the entire soundtrack, and you know, he very liberally calls back to Nathan Drake's theme and integrates it with some of his own music. I wanted to play one of the action orchestration cues, because it shows you sort of his taste for orchestration. This is a piece called Cut to the Chase from Uncharted 4. I love this. This is Cut to the Chase from Uncharted 4.
This luckily got the Carl seal of approval, which I know is sought after for most composers these days to get my approval. No, Henry Jackman's, he's got great taste and great chops. Really big fan of this track. Will was saying earlier before he played it, he was letting me know, he's like, it surprisingly sounds like a film score. Like, you could play with somebody and they would never think, oh, this is from a game?
Right. I mean, I know that video games use a lot of film composers, and there really is supposedly no difference. But there's a lot of music in this game where just, I think some of the subtleties in orchestration are things that I've only really heard in film music. I think it's safe to say a lot of this score is very rhythmic or harmonic. There's a lot of ambient textural stuff. It's not always sort of hitting you over the face with a melody. And the one theme that is sort of very prevalent is
the Nathan.
Nathan Drake theme.
Which is a great theme.
Which is wonderful. And he utilizes it and reorchestrates it in different ways.
Greg Edmondson, I think, composed that one.
Yeah, exactly. But what is really kind of interesting to me is one of the things that I heard sort of carry out the entire soundtrack is a lot of use of like ethnic flutes. I imagine Henry Jackman's a big John Williams fan, and if you've ever watched the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know all that kind of like spooky, I guess it's supposed to sound like spooky ethnic kind of music with all these flutes and percussion. When you think about the Uncharted games, they're really so inspired by Indiana Jones and meant to kind of be in the vein of that. And what's interesting is though the music feels very modern and percussive and rhythmic and stuff, that kind of hearkening to some of the more advanced orchestral sounds of composers like John Williams make it feel more like
Indiana
Jones.
Well, honestly, it's probably the same approach that John would have taken in 2017 or 18 when if he does the next indie movie, whoever does the next indie movie, it's probably the similar approach. You know, they're going to have to make it feel a little bit more modern, I would imagine. Even if it doesn't, I mean, it's like if it takes place in the 60s or whenever it's going to take place, it needs to be a little bit more modern than the 30s. You know what I'm saying? So it is interesting because like it still feels old, but I think this is a good approach because you add a little bit more drums and kind of taiko and stuff. It feels a little bit more fitting of this. Well, this is different because this does take place in modern day.
Right. Well, I think the thing that you notice about Henry Jackman's music, even though it's very rhythmic and kind of features what we think to be a lot of film music tropes, it's very, you know, thoughtfully composed. It's not like it doesn't sound like copy and paste music where you just kind of have this rhythmic ostinato that is completely unchanging and just things fade in and out of it. You know, it's very active and different parts moving and new things coming in and out.
Well, I'm really excited because now we're going to move on to a little segment that I prepared. This is going to be really fun. This is exciting. We are live. This is our first ever live stream. We're in the middle of recording a show and tell episode, and we're going to do a fun little segment. This is a Name That Tune. This is going to be really fun. Will, do you remember when we played the last installment of Name That Tune?
Yeah, we did it for our 200th episode. Carl prepared different, you know, video game music tracks that Marty and I were supposed to be familiar with, and then he would introduce just different channels and we would have to guess. So
now, Will, I hope this isn't putting you too much on the spot. Not only am I filming you, but people all around the world could be watching you to see if you get these. Keep in mind that these are picks that are familiar to our show, and I kind of had a balance of making some of them a little easy, some of them a little hard, but I had a great time preparing this last time, so I'm excited to get into this.
I think I can do it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the first one we're going to do. So I'm going to start off playing one channel. Now, a lot of this is retro music, so I was able to isolate the channels. One track of a specific video game tune, and then if you don't get it, I'll add more. And the sooner you can get it, the better. If you can get the game, that's 1 point. The track, that's another. And the composer, that's the third point. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
I know it's Super Nintendo.
Do you want me to add a track?
Yes, please.
All right, here's the second track.
Oh, it's Super Metroid, right? It's not Super Metroid?
That is wrong.
Okay, well, just keep
Here keep is coming. The third track I'll add.
Oh, okay. Donkey Kong Country 2, this is a Hothead Bop.
That is absolutely correct. Isn't that interesting how the riff sounds so different with one of the channels muted? Here's all of it.
I think once I heard those bubbly sound effects, I thought it was Super Metroid.
Let's see, you got all three, so I'll give you 3 points, but you had to wait for the third channel.
Okay, that's fine.
Give you 2 points. All right, are you ready for number two here?
Okay.
Here we go. Here's the first channel. Do you want to hear it again or do you want to add a channel?
Play it again. You got to add a channel, man. I'm sorry.
You really want me to add a channel? All right.
Oh, wait. Is it Excite? It's Excite Bike, right?
Negative. Here, I'll add a channel. Maybe that gave you a little hint.
You didn't add a channel.
There's nothing on. There's nothing on this second channel. I played a teensy bit more of it, though. Do you need me to play the whole thing for you?
Yes.
All right, here's the whole kit and caboodle.
Oh, this is from either Gyromite or Stack Up.
Final answer?
One of the Rob the Robot games. I'm going to say Gyromite.
Gyromite is correct. Composed by, obviously,
Hirokazu Tanaka.
Isn't that interesting how just the bass line, there's only two
channels.
Yeah,
well, that bass line, the memorable part is...
Good. No, see, this is good because you got the first one and you didn't get the second one. So far the game...
Well, I say...
It's a good game.
I think it's stupid that you said, do you want me to add a channel and there's no channel added?
I thought that would be a nice little
I think I should still get some points for that.
All right, here we go. This is number three, channel one. You ready?
Okay, gotcha.
Any idea?
Is it Mystic Cave Zone from Sonic 2?
Negative.
Okay.
Do you want me to add a second channel?
I mean, I have like nothing to go on, so I'm just taking big swings.
Here we go.
I don't know. It could be from like an Ease game, possibly.
Interesting.
Okay, you gotta add more, I think.
I'll give you a hint. It's from the Genesis.
I know. It sounds like Genesis.
Here we go, last one I'll add.
Oh, this is Streets of Rage, right?
And
what is this?
Seriously? That's the last one I'll add before I give you the whole kit and caboodle.
No, just give me a... just let me think. It's the doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. It has that great... baseline.
That is true. It does have a baseline, which is the probably the biggest
part
of the
track. For some
reason,
I thought it was Yuzo Koshiro.
It's Motowaki Takanuchi, actually.
Oh, it's from Jewel Master?
That is correct!
That's such a great one.
Can't beat that one. All right. Are you ready for... This could potentially be the last one. Are you ready for the last one?
Yeah.
If you really want another after this, we can. If you're having fun.
Okay, I'm having a great time. Okay, I want the podcast to just be this from now on.
Okay, well then we will do both. I have a bonus one I prepared that's a little bit harder.
Okay,
Okay, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Here we go. Let me know what you want me to do.
Sounds like Game Boy.
Interesting.
Is it Game Boy?
It is Game Boy. Well, yeah.
Is it Super kind Mario of. Land 2?
It is not.
Okay.
Kind of. It's kind of Game Boy.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. I'll add another one.
Oh, it's from Minish Cap. The Legend of Zelda Minish Cap. It's the Minish Village.
Oh my gosh, I'm impressed.
Oh, so good. I want to do a spotlight on this soundtrack.
We actually got a recommendation for that by my good friend Mitch recently.
I know.
So, Mitch, if you're watching, shout out.
That's great.
All right, we're going to now do the bonus one, which was the last one I prepared. Let's see, we're only at 6:55 here on the live stream, so that's a good length here. All right, this is the final one of the day. This is really tough. I don't think you'll get this, but okay. Do you want to still try?
Yeah, let's try.
Here we go. Thoughts?
Genesis?
It is Genesis.
Genesis does. Let's keep going.
Genesis does whatever the heck it wants. All right, here's the second channel.
Ooh, I like it.
That's correct. You do like it.
Sorry, man. I'm
third
I'm,
channel. I'm third channel. Any idea? Any wild stabs in the dark?
Is it from a racing game?
Ooh, yes, it is.
Okay.
Do you want the full track? I can give you the full track before you guess.
No, I don't want the full track. Now I'm just struggling on the name. Is it from Road Rash?
Yeah, you are struggling. No, Road is not in the title.
Okay.
All right, here's the full track.
Did you write this?
That's a compliment, but no, I did not.
It sounds like something that you would write.
All right, last chance to guess before we'll end it.
It's not from a game with Road in it. Is it Super something?
What's the opposite of in?
Oh, Outrun. Outrunners.
Outrunners!
I did.
Let's all give a round of applause for Will. Good job. Will, give yourself a round of applause.
Okay.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that
hopefully
was fun.
You guys enjoyed that. We actually got a lot of suggestions to do another one of those, so hopefully
yeah.
It wasn't too much pressure for you, Will. Name that tune, round two. Cool. Well, now let's move on. I'm going to play a track from Yumineko no Naku Koru ni Rose Crimson, which is one of Will's favorites. This is a hauntingly beautiful track called The Island Where the Witch Lives. You guys just listened to The Island Where the Witch Lives. So beautiful. That was composed by Masatoshi Moriwaki and Shinichi Sakurai. Man, that's beautiful. Yeah, this kind of reminded me of a particular melody in the Lord of the Rings movie series, that just kind of the dissonant melody there with the female voice.
Yeah, it's very haunting and incredibly evocative. Yeah, I think those singers sort of in octaves. I'm really curious. I hope you play more music from this game in the future.
But it's sort of funny contrasting
from the experience of being filmed and having all eyes on me. I actually feel kind of relaxed now. Like,
absolutely.
I can stretch out.
Yeah, that was all five people that were watching that online. All right, cool. I think it's time for you to move on to your next pick.
Yeah, well, the next track I'm going to play will contrast quite a bit from the thing we just heard, but I wanted to put it at this point in the playlist because I thought it would go well with Uncharted 4. We talked about how, you know, that game is so influenced from Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Well, this is from Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb, a soundtrack composed by Clint Bajakian, who actually worked on Uncharted 3, so sort of a nice pairing there. I've played some stuff from this game in the past, and I think it's a wonderful soundtrack. It sort of unabashedly tries to recapture the sound of John Williams. This is a really great declamatory sort of German Nazi piece for the main villain in the game. So let's take a listen to Von Beck's Revenge. Isn't that great? Gosh, I love this theme. Not
so
only
good.
The melody, the kind of the German thing, dun, 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 mm-hmm. but all the sort of advanced orchestration that he uses with the sort of creepy, aleatoric sounding strings and all the meter changes. It's a little bit campy, but it's sort of capturing an older film music
and
sound.
It really brings me back to that game. There's so many distinct parts of that game, like when the tank is chasing you.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah, this
was,
is actually the, that's
this
what,
is during that part.
Yeah, this is right before Von Beck meets his.
The game is so good, and
but you can see why they asked Clint Bajakian to work on Uncharted 3
because he did Fate of Atlantis.
Yeah.
Well, Indiana I thought you meant why they asked him to do Emperor's Tomb. Yeah, for sure. All right, well, now we're going to move on to my next pick. This is from, Will, have you heard of this game, Shadow of the Ninja, for the NES?
I have not, no.
This is composed by Iku Mizutani, who's one of our favorite composers, both of our, not one of our favorites, but we've played a lot of his stuff over the years from, like, Shatterhand.
He's very much, I think, of a show-and-tell composer.
Yes, he's a great
show-and-tell
composer.
He's done a lot of soundtracks that are sort of off the beaten path.
As well as Koichi Yamanishi. Let's take a listen to Stage 1, Seaport, from Shadow of the Ninja. That is a rocking piece of music. It's classic Iku Mizutani here. You guys are listening to Stage 1 Seaport from Shadow of the Ninja for the NES. Some really solid rocking guitar-like riffs you're hearing here. Good use of the delay where it's like basically just turning the volume down each repetition.
Right.
So it sounds like a you know, stadium guitar or something.
Right.
Really killer stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it. I think this is awesome. Yeah, it reminds me of a lot of the stuff from Shatterhand. Yeah, it's fun to get some NES gems. There were a few soundtracks that I came across this week in preparing for this episode that I wanted to include, but I don't think they were quite up to this standard. But it's always fun to find, you know, soundtracks. It's just kind of crazy to think that there are things that old that sort of feel new, you know, when you can almost rediscover them.
Absolutely, man.
Okay, so this is what I've really been waiting for. I'm going to play another track from Final Stretch, that racing game.
Oh, the funky
game.
One that I heard the first second of?
Yeah, I'm really excited to show this to you, Carl. This is one of my favorites that I heard this whole week. So let's take a listen to System Configuration from Final Stretch, composed by Masano Akahori.
How this is not track of the week is beyond
me. I know.
Me.
Isn't it crazy?
This is funky.
When I was listening to this, because at first I was just
going
to, I found that title screen. I'm like, okay, I'll take this and I'll move on and find something else. I'm like, I should listen to other things. And I got this and I was just like, oh my God, this is insanely good.
I can't
good.
Even, how did you find this? This is so freaking good.
No, this is courtesy of Rolling the Dice.
Wow.
I always like to use that game music appreciation site. It takes forever because you sift through mostly garbage. But honestly, like, I never would
have
found
this without
it.
Dude, that's the same with any medium. If you had to just do that randomly with film music or TV music or anything, a lot of garbage out there, you know? The good stuff has always been rare, and I think it will continue to always be rare. But, dude, that is so great. Well, I'm excited to move on to my pick for track of the week. So I think we both play our picks, and then we do the rock, paper, scissors, right? Is that right, Will?
That's correct.
This is from an SNES game called Bounty Sword.
Okay.
Have you heard of this, Will?
I've not, no.
You have heard of this gentleman, though, Kohei Tanaka. Really awesome stuff here. I'm going to play a battle theme. It's called Decisive Battle, Invincible Knight.
Okay.
And this is a really active track. It's really good orchestral writing that happens to be using SNES samples. Let's take a listen to my pick for track of the week. Is so awesome. Will, what do you think about that? I don't know. I know I ask you. I always do that right away and then I say my spiel. But I just am really kind of impressed and just invigorated by how inventive ways he's using SNES here. It's something that you don't hear all that often.
Well, what I was just kind of charmed and delighted by is that you can tell it's Kohei Tanaka. There's a couple little melodic tendencies that remind me of Gravity Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell he's just such a big fan of orchestral music. And
it is cool that you can tell it's that same person who would go on to do Gravity Rush for the Vita, and now he's working on the Super Nintendo. It's very inspired, and it's inspiring to listen to as a composer, that, you know, you're not hearing limitations here. You're not hearing frustration with, you know, so many composers of the time, they, not to say that they used it as an excuse, but a lot of times like, oh, we were just fighting with these harsh limitations, and sometimes they felt like they weren't having the best time. Whereas here you're hearing Koi Tanaka, he's just putting a lot of heart and soul into this music.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a wonderful find, man.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
I think it's time to move on to your
choice.
This
is my pick for track of the week, and this is interesting. This is not from a video game. This is a chiptune. This was composed in 2003. This is an NES chiptune by a Japanese composer who's known as Naruto.
Okay.
This is amazing. I actually found it on that same game music appreciation site because somehow the NSF had been uploaded, but I'm really excited for you to hear this, dude. So let's take a listen to Artificial Intelligence Bomb.
Guys, I was making the most girly high-pitched squeals you can imagine. I will relinquish. No need to do rock, paper, scissors. I mean, we can still do it.
I agree.
No matter what, like,
I mean, this should be like track of.
Is this Jake Kaufman? Like, what is this, Will?
So there was there was a competition that I don't know if it still goes on. It was called like Fami something. It was essentially for, you know, Fami tracker chiptunes. The first time they ever had it was in 2003.
Who is this composer? Japanese? American?
His name is Naruto, but that's like his remixer.
We should look
into
him.
He's a Japanese guy.
Okay.
And this was his submission for that contest.
Holy
and then
moly.
It became sort of a popular thing I read on YouTube. Like, it would be like the background to different videos or something.
Guys, I really wish we could have... We were recording the squeals. We're going to release a director's cut of this episode. Just so you guys know, we've had a lot of technical difficulties. This has been a weird recording episode. The live stream must have thrown a kink in something.
Shit, it stopped.
it stopped again. But we did get the squeals. We got the squeals and nothing else.
We got the squeals.
This is so good.
Isn't this amazing?
Here, Will, you ready? I think I know you. So here we go. On shoot. Rock, paper, scissors. Oh, no. I'm just kidding. So Will won. I did scissors. He did rock. It was completely fixed. Because at this point, we still have to do it. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be sacrilege not to do it. That is incredible.
Isn't that awesome? I was so excited.
I can't believe
to
you found that. I got to say, it's great. Now, I'm excited about this next pick of mine. This is, I think last week you said it's up to you, the onus is on you to bring in like groovy stuff all week.
Yeah.
Didn't do that, obviously. A lot of my stuff hasn't been groovy.
Yeah.
This is very groovy. So
oh, nice.
I will not disappoint. This is a groovy track. It's by a composer that I've lately been super enamored with. His name is Yasuki Yasui. He's done some killer stuff. He had a track featured on our Greatest Hits episode, actually, that FM, that killer proggy FM Genesis track. I think it was called Super Reflex.
Right.
Amazing composer. This is a track called Brisa do Mar from Technic Beat. That is groovy. I was really excited when I found this. This was a replacement. I had a different track in this spot, and I replaced it last night because I found this, and I was like, oh, I got to do this. This is Brisa Domar from Technic Beat, composed by Yasuki Yasui. I think this is so cool and weird and Japanese and goofy. This could fit... Will, what game do you think this could fit in? I have an answer what this could fit in.
Katamari Damacy.
Yes. We're on the same page. What do you think about this? That synth
lead, I love it.
Throws you for a loop, doesn't
it? I thought
it
was some sort of like folk instrument.
It might be like a sampled folk instrument that's like used as a synth lead, but how about those vocals?
God, I love that.
This is
that's
so catchy. I gotta say, this might be the grooviest track I put in, and obviously what you just played was the grooviest track you brought. Whew. All right, well.
That's the thing. When I found that Final Stretch system configuration, I was like, oh, maybe this should be track of the week. And then I went back and listened to the artificial intelligence
you're like,
bomb.
There's no chance.
Like, no, this is the greatest
thing.
So
what do you got for
your
second to last?
So this is going to be a complete change of pace, but this is sort of what I was talking about to you earlier.
It's the same track, but a different key.
No, I'm going to play I'm going to play my pick, and then I want you to guess the composer.
Okay, perfect.
So maybe I won't even mention the game, but what I will say is I had to play this.
So is this basically my chance for a little game here?
Sure. I mean, you don't have to necessarily know what the game is or anything, but I'd just be curious because it might be a surprise. This is cartoon music for the Super Nintendo. And okay. I don't just mean like it uses some of those harmonies. Like I mean it like Mickey Mousing, stops and starts. It sounds like an old Looney Tunes cartoon. This is amazing. So let's take a listen to the track and we'll talk about it afterwards.
That's tough, Will. I can't seem to specify who it is. Is it from a Looney Tunes game or some sort of Tiny Toons Looney Tunes?
It is from a cartoon-based game.
Cartoon-based game. Is it Kazuhiko Uehara?
No.
Hmm.
I'll just say it's a composer. He's one of your favorites. He's a Japanese composer that writes a lot of American-sounding music.
Yuzo Koshiro?
No.
I feel like I'm on the spot now. This is interesting.
But isn't this amazing? Like it sounds.
What's the game?
The game is Animaniacs for the Super Nintendo.
Animaniacs.
So a lot of the music in the game, you know, it's just like regular video game music, and it uses a lot of the Animaniacs theme. But this is from like a little cutscene, and I couldn't believe it. It's like, oh, it's right out of a cartoon. It uses all the cliches and everything.
I can't think of who this would be.
It's Tomoya Tomita.
Tomoya Tomita.
Which I thought was so cool that he had this opportunity on the Super Nintendo
to do this
Looney Tunes sounding stuff. It's so awesome. This track is called Message from the CEO.
That's great,
If you've ever watched the Animaniacs show, there's a lot of breaking the fourth wall and kind of like winking at
That's so
the
wonderful.
Audience.
You know, I was thinking Konami. I definitely knew it was Konami. And because you know, Kazuhiko Hara, she worked with Tomoya Tomita in this time and did a lot of good cartoon music.
Well, your nose
Super
is
Nintendo.
In the right place. Yeah. Animaniacs, Tomoya Tomita, Message
Wonderful,
from the CEO.
Dude.
Isn't that fun?
Good.
I found that in my search, and it's like, yeah, it's not like this like catchy melodic thing, but it's just like the technical merits
music.
Of it really sort of blew me away. I'd never heard anything like that in the Super Nintendo.
I love that gentleman. He does good work through and through. All right, my last submission for the day, and this is a little bit different because this is going to be a remix of a well-known song. So, you know, most of the time we try to pick brand new stuff that you don't know, or I don't know.
Sure.
You know this song very well. It's a live version by The One Ups. Have you heard of that band?
Yes,
there's a
game
cover band. This is Koopa Beach from Super Mario Kart.
Oh, cool.
By The One Ups. Let's take a listen to this great arrangement. Thank you. That is legit. I gotta say, they got all the notes right, all the chords right. It's a tasteful arrangement, and it makes you appreciate the beauty of the song.
It's just such a gorgeous tune. You know, that would have like blown up in like the 1950s.
And you know, before we talk too much about the tune, we had to have to say, great job, One Ups. You guys did a wonderful job on this arrangement.
Beautiful.
That's the end. I mean, Will has a playoff track, but guys, we had a wonderful time sharing this music. It's good to have you back.
We had a horrible time recording this episode. It's been a disaster.
We had like four or five different weird technical issues where things stopped recording.
Yeah.
We did that game. We'll let you guys know about it later, but it was weird. We had a lot of fun, and then we had not fun with the technical stuff, but now we're having fun again. So let's just try to forget
the only thing
the
is we might
stuff.
Just have to like re-record some things, and Carl has to rush off to a lesson, so we'll make sense of this like shit pile later.
I, you know, despite all that, I had a great
time. This was wonderful.
I'll never
music
forget
was
this
great.
Recording that
yeah.
we did today.
This is fun.
So guys, really excited next week. I gotta say, the number one submission that we've got, at least for a long time, to do another installment of a topic we did a long time ago, Bad Music Round 2, is going to be next week.
Oh.
We got so many suggestions over the course of like 2 years. You have to do another Bad Music episode.
We did that for April Fool's Day a few years ago. I will say that is one of my favorite episodes.
It's
just,
so
it was,
fun.
It was really funny.
Guys, so next week is going to be the worst of the worst, showing you what not to do for video game music, and we're going to have a ball with it. It's great to have Will in the same room for that. So Bad Music next week, and then the week after that, amazing music again. So don't worry. Just 1 week off.
Gosh,
of
we'll probably make a few enemies, so we'll have to start, you know, locking our car doors. And
well, there's one track that I could see us making a few enemies, but hopefully I try to keep it safe. Guys, I had a wonderful time. Will, what's your playout track?
My playout track is also from that game War Thunder. This is a much more sort of rousing, big, brassy orchestral piece. This is Battle Music 12 from War Thunder. Thanks so much, everybody. My name is Will Brueggemann.
My name is Carl Brueggemann.
Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.